Angels are very involved in the life of the Christian. They could best be described as God's secret agents.
Angels have been so theorized and fictionalized, but coming up today, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us understand the biblical facts. Angels are real, and they may be really near.
The Bible is filled with stories of people who were delivered by angels, sometimes comforted by angels. So there could be an angel around you right now.
This is the
people know about angels. Chances are they don't know a lot, and what they do know comes from movies or TV programs or even cartoons. That's just fiction, make-believe. But it would be a mistake to just throw out the concept of angels altogether. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out that angels are real and they're an important part of the plan of God. But we'll see, not all angels are the good guys. Reliable biblical insight is coming your way today.
I heard a story about how God was wondering how things were going on planet Earth. So he dispatched a high-ranking angel to Earth to check things out and bring back a report. Little time passed, the angel returned. He said, "Lord, things are not looking good on planet Earth. I have to tell you in all honesty, 95% of the people are bad and only 5% are good." Lord said, "I want to get a second opinion." He sends another angel to Earth. The angel spends some time here, returns back to heaven, and says, "Lord," it says the other angel said, "95% of the people are bad and only 5% are good." So the Lord wanted to encourage those who were good. So he sent them a text, something to keep them going. Do you want to know what that text said? Oh, you didn't get one either? So that's a silly story, obviously a fictitious one, but it reminds us of a very real truth, and that is simply that angels are real. Angels move back and forth from heaven to earth, and they're actively involved in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. Right now, you and I live in a visible world. We're in physical bodies. But just as real as this physical world is the spiritual world. Just as real as the visible is the invisible. Just as real as the natural is the supernatural. So I want to talk a little bit about the work of angels in general, but I want to look at what they were doing in the book of Acts. Now, here's the thing that we don't realize about angels. They're very important. They're mentioned in the Bible at least 300 times, but there's a lot of misconceptions about angels. They could best be described as God's secret agents. Or another way to put it is angels are like Navy SEALs, okay? So the Navy SEALs, you don't know what they do most of the time, because their job is to go in, complete an operation, come back, hopefully all in one piece. We remember the stories of SEAL Team 6 going in and finding and killing Osama bin Laden. And that's the way the SEALs roll. They do their job, they operate undercover, but they're very efficient in what they do. And in a similar way, that's the way angels roll. They do their job, they don't draw attention to themselves. They generally don't appear to us and identify themselves as angels, though occasionally they do, but they're out there doing the work of God. We don't realize how many times angels have actually stopped us, gotten us out of tight situations, or protected us from harm, or even spoken directly to us, and the book of Acts is filled with angels. In fact, the book opens with angels after Jesus ascended into heaven. We read the angels say in Acts 1:11, "Men stood by in white robes," those were angels, "saying, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" Here's a misconception about angels. Sometimes people think when you die, you become an angel. I've even heard it said, "Oh, well, the reason they died is God needed another angel in heaven." Okay, that is false. men and women do not become angels. Angels are created beings. They've always been created beings. And it would appear from Scripture that they are eternal and never die. So they have a lot of things that they're actively involved in. We read about them in Revelation, worshiping before the throne of God. We read of different categories of angels, like the cherubim and the seraphim. And we read of angels bringing judgment on certain occasions in the Old Testament, like the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. But angels are very involved in the life of the Christian. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" The Bible is filled with stories of people who were delivered by angels, sometimes comforted by angels. Psalm 34, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord guards all who fear him and rescues them." So I'm going to give you now 10 takeaway truths about angels and demons. 10 takeaway truths about angels and demons. If you're taking notes, here's number one. Angels sometimes deliver us from difficult situations. Angels sometimes deliver us from difficult situations. In Acts chapter 5, angels busted the apostles out of jail, and they said, "Go tell the people about this new life." Angels also got Peter out of prison. Recently, we read from Acts 12 and how James had been executed by King Herod. Peter was arrested and was chained to a lot of guards and behind a lot of closed doors. And we read that the church prayed. Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And the Lord dispatched an angel to deliver Peter. The angel went in and actually, the Bible says, had to kind of smack him. I guess Peter was a deep sleep. And he had the unique distinction of being smacked by an angel to wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up, poof, wake up. Peter wakes up. Come on, let's go, let's go. They go through the open doors and now they're outside and the angel departs. And Peter realizes he's been delivered by an angel. The angel had done his job. The best known story, probably of angelic deliverance, is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. A law was passed that no one could pray to any god except the king, King Darius, who was ruling Babylon. The king had unwittingly signed this decree, not realizing he was condemning his favorite counselor, Daniel, to a certain death. And the king was up all night worried about his friend Daniel. Daniel slept like a baby. Why? Because as Daniel said on the next morning, "The Lord sent his angel to deliver me."
Glad you're joining us today for A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie, Senior Pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California. Pastor Greg is offering biblical truth about angels today. His first point is that angels deliver us from difficult situations. Let's continue now.
Point number two. Sometimes angels stop us and other times they prompt us. Sometimes angels stop us and other times they prompt us. In Acts 8, we read about an angel of the Lord prompting Philip to go to the desert. We also just looked at the story of how an angel appeared to the man Cornelius, the Roman centurion. Cornelius was seeking God, but he didn't really know who he was yet. An angel appears, and the angel says, "You need to get together with Simon Peter." And the question arises, why didn't the angel just give the gospel to Cornelius? Because that's not the job of angels. That's our job. But the angel did his job. "You need to get together with Simon Peter," and those two came together. The classic example of an angel stopping someone from doing the wrong thing is the story of Balaam and his donkey. Balaam was a prophet for hire. I don't know where you'd find such a guy. You know, you just Google his name, there's Balaam. He almost should have spelled the name prophet or the word prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, because he seemed to be in it for the money. So the king hired him, a king that was opposed to Israel. He said, "I want to destroy the Israelites and I want you as a prophet to curse these people." So Balaam said, "Yeah, let's do it." And he gets on his donkey and is on his way to do the thing God told him not to do. The Lord said, "Don't do this." Balaam said, I'm going to do it. So he's on his way riding his donkey in disobedience to God. So the donkey suddenly stops and brushes up against the wall and crushes the leg of Balaam. Balaam is getting angry. He starts to beat the donkey. And the donkey goes a little further and just stops. Well, what Balaam didn't see and what the donkey did see was there was an angel standing in front of them with sword drawn. And so Balaam keeps kicking the donkey. Let's go, let's go. And then the Bible says, the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. And the donkey speaks to Balaam and says, why are you beating me? Now that's amazing that a donkey spoke. This is not Shrek here, folks. This is a real Bible story. The donkey speaks and asked him, why are you beating me? Balaam says, because you won't do what I'm telling you to do. And the donkey says, haven't I been a good donkey? Haven't I done what you wanted me to do? Balaam says, yeah, you've been good. Meanwhile, the angel's like, what is wrong with this guy? He's having a conversation with the donkey. You know, people do talk to animals, right? You talk to your dog. It's funny how we use a different voice with animals. Go, come here, come on, that sort of thing, right? Talk any way you want to a cat, they're like, whatever. My wife can actually, there's a cat in our neighborhood, his name is Hopkins, and she can get this cat to come to her, which I think is almost a miracle. But you know, we talk to animals with it. He's talking to an animal that's talking back to him again. And then finally the angel reveals himself. He says, you should be glad your donkey stopped. And he was also upset with Balaam for beating the donkey as well. So that's where a donkey was seeing something that even Balaam did not see. So takeaway lesson, don't talk to donkeys, number one. Number two, don't do what God has told you not to do. Have you ever had the Lord put the brakes on something you were trying to do? I'm going to do this. I'm going to marry that guy. I'm going to take this job. I'm going to go do this thing. I'm going to buy that other thing. I'm going to say this. I'm going to do that. And it was like the door was shut in your face. And you're thinking, what was that all about? Might have been an angel getting you out of trouble. So they prompt us. Other times they stop us. But they're very involved in our lives. It's entirely possible you have even met an angel. Because Hebrews 13:2 says, don't forget to entertain strangers, for in doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. I can tell you for certain there are angels in this room right now. Now, we don't see them. But what if there was an angel that was among us, and it was a stranger, and you were right next to an angel, so look around. Does anyone look? I don't see any feathers. No halos, no crumbs of angel food cake. Though there is a piece of devil's food cake over there that makes me wonder about what's happening. Yeah, you wouldn't know it, but there could be an angel around you right now. You know, virtual reality is so popular. Facebook has even changed their name from Facebook to Meta because it's all about now this whole other virtual reality. And by the way, Meta is Latin for nerd. No, not really. But it's actually Latin for geek. But the point is that, you know, you put on the glasses and the Oculus glasses or whatever brand you have, and you enter into the virtual world. I've done this a couple of times. I'm not that enamored with it, frankly, but, you know, I was on a roller coaster in one and going through a forest in another, or you can get in fights, and there's no way you can put those glasses on and look even remotely cool, right? But this whole world that they want to introduce us to, when in reality, that world is not even real, but the supernatural world is. If you were to see an angel, if an angel were to walk out on this stage and stand next to me, we would all be amazed. And not only would we be amazed, we would be tempted to fall down and worship the angel. This actually happened to the Apostle John after the angel revealed certain things to him. And we read in Revelation 22, John says, I heard and I saw these things and I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said, don't do it. I'm your fellow servant. Worship God. Sometimes the question is asked, do we have guardian angels? In other words, do we have a personal angel that's assigned to us? My answer is Maybe. And I actually think there's a good chance of it because of a couple of verses in the Bible. Matthew 18:10, Jesus, speaking of children, said, "Don't look down on these little ones. I tell you, their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." Notice he said, "their angels." So maybe kids have guardian angels. A lot of kids need guardian angels. They get themselves into so much trouble. But then maybe we have one as well. Going back to Acts 12, after Peter was busted out of prison and he showed up at the house where they were praying for him and knocked at the door, a girl named Rhoda answers. She sees him. She goes back and tells the apostles, "Peter's at the door," and they said, "It's his angel." It's interesting. It's his angel. Number one, if anyone's angel knocks at my door, I'm going to answer for sure, okay? But the point is, maybe we do have guardian angels, but even if we don't, we know that we have angels actively involved in our lives.
Some fascinating insight today in Pastor Greg Laurie's study called Angels and Demons. And there's more great perspective to come next time here on A New Beginning. As we study how angels are involved in our lives, it's obvious evidence of God's care for us. We can see that care on its fullest display in how God sent his Son to pay the price for our sins. Jesus paid a debt that he didn't owe because we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. If you'd like to accept his payment on your behalf, Pastor Greg is back to help you now.
He's only a prayer away, which means if you will call upon the name of the Lord right now through prayer, he will hear your prayer and answer your prayer. Listen, if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life, if you want him to forgive you of your sin, if you want to know that you'll go to heaven when you die, just pray this prayer right now after me. Just pray, "Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior who died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. I turn from my sin now, and I choose to follow you from this moment forward as my Savior and Lord, as my God and my friend. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen."
Amen. And if you have just prayed that prayer and meant those words sincerely, we want to welcome you into the family of God. And let us help you get started walking each day with the Lord. We'd love to send you Pastor Greg's New Believers Growth Pack. It's a collection of resources that'll explain the basics of the Christian faith and get you started in this new journey. Just ask for a New Believers Growth Pack when you call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. And the team would love to pray with you too. Call 1-800-772-936 today. Next time on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg brings us more insight on angels. We'll uncover the biblical facts about the fallen angels known as demons. Today's message from Pastor Greg Laurie was called Angels and Demons. If you'd like to listen again, just download the free Vision Christian Media app, where it's available as a podcast, along with more inspiring Christian content. Just search your app store for Vision Christian Media, station sponsor.